Welcome to a Burning Fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Let me talk with you about the father's duty to the family. We begin with a definition of terms. Duty refers to an obligation, something that ought not be left undone, but ought to be done. When it is not optional, it is something bound upon a person. A family in this discussion is one that includes the basic unit of father, mother, and child or children. Families may be different from this with extended families. One-parent families are certainly different. The various arrangements sometimes that are morally acceptable can be called families. Some families are without a father and mother due to death or due to divorce. Some families do not include children. Arrangements of kin in the same house are also prominent. And many of us have known two aunts living together, a father and a daughter at the same house. But we speak of moral situations and associations. But even with a father, there may be exceptional families because the father is ill or unable to discharge his duties for other reasons. But we generally consider the father as the man of the house, and with the role of husband and parent of the child. His work may well be shared in some respects by other members of the family, but there are certain responsibilities that are his that cannot be shifted to someone else. This is that upon which we shall focus our attention. The father must accept his personal duty to God. All of us have to do that. And this will determine his duties to others and how he is to meet other obligations. He cannot fulfill his duty if he leaves God out, because God is the originator and the designer of the home, having brought it into existence with purpose. Duty to God means he has a duty to family, because God requires that of him. It seems that many do not understand that they have a duty to the family at all. Many families have no father figure for the children. Either through abandonment or neglect or abuse or failure to support or maybe just shirking of duty, many fathers have been sorely lacking. In 1 Timothy 5 in verse 8, "But if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." God's word teaches the father he has a duty, teaches him what that duty is and how serious a matter it is. The Bible is the best handbook on fatherhood that has ever been written. A man's responsibility to his family begins before he even has a family. And how we need to teach our young men to develop character. This is a vital truth. To keep oneself morally pure. To learn to work. And to never be abusive toward members of the family. Whether they are younger, older, or whatever the relationship. He must not abuse his body with drugs, lest the consequences be a detriment even to his unborn children. He needs to learn what true love is. In other words, he must learn what his duties are before he undertakes the discharge of them. Now, he does this best when he makes himself a man of faith and of integrity and conviction, a person of honor, rather than simply seeking wealth and power and fame and pleasure. Being a father is not a boy's job. It takes a real man. And too many males in our land are not real men when it comes to facing responsibilities. The family originated with two people. He is the head of the wife, just as Christ is the head of the church, Ephesians 5:23. Friend, this is God's order, so we ought not complain against it. Being the head means he must develop and demonstrate love and sacrifice, loyalty, and the faithfulness. It is impossible to discharge his duty to his family if he's unfaithful to his wife. He cannot and will not be a good father if the vows of marriage are violated. His role is that of leadership, which demands acceptance of his responsibility. In other words, the buck stops here. It stops with him. This is not a matter of superiority or inferiority. Friend, a John Deere tractor does one work, and a Timex watch does another. These items serve different roles. So it is with husband and wife. Every efficient unit must have a leader, and in the wisdom of God, that leader is the husband. Now, we are sorry this does not satisfy the God-hating feminist movement in our twisted society. Much of the world rejects this order, but it is still right because it pleases God, and it pleases those who love God. And please take a candid look at what the displacement of roles has done to our children and society generally. What sane person could defend it? 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8 has already been quoted. The provision the father is to provide includes food, shelter, clothing, medicine, and protection. He must see that the home gives every occupant security, that the home is a haven and a harbor of refuge. And he does this by hard work. Circumstances such as illness and losses and emergencies, it may require assistance from others at times, and even possibly on a permanent basis. But these are exceptions. The greatest provision a father can give his children is their mother's time. And mothers ought to be quick to give that time. The father has the prime duty to provide spiritual training, Ephesians 4:6 and Proverbs 22:6. Possibly in this realm is the most of the dereliction of duty that's seen among fathers today. But fathers are to provide guidance and instruction and advice. They are to give counsel and discipline and provide an example in habits and speech and industry and self-control. Attitudes and treatment of others, both in and out of the family. He is to exercise authority. He is to set priorities. He is to determine values and rules and the standards by which the family is to be regulated. The wife and children are necessarily involved, but he is the one God expects to see that the right things are provided. Now, this does not mean that he can rule like he's a tyrant. He must not have this "I am the boss" attitude. He is no dictator. He encourages input from the family. He is unselfish and sacrificial. He behaves with consideration and cooperation with the others. But he must be both tender and firm. He must be kind, but he must be determined. He must be considerate, but he must be strong. He is the captain of the ship, and God looks to him for the welfare of the family. Every member of the family ought to help him in every way to fulfill his God-given assignment. They must avoid mutiny, if you please, and usurpation of his authority. They are to lovingly give obedience and respect and cooperation. The study of Eli and Samuel and Lot and David, in connection with Absalom, are graphic demonstrations of fathers who did not assume and did not discharge the proper role toward their children. The pain and the grief and the sorrow, even the death that these families suffered, can be traced directly to parental failure to serve as proper fathers. And let it be said of all of us, as was said of Abraham in Genesis 18 and verse 19, "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." Now let us now consider some very practical matters that define the duty of fathers, both physically and spiritually. How long has it been since you led the family in prayer, even giving thanks to God at mealtime? How long has it been, when did you pray for each member of your family, that you might fulfill your duty toward them? When did you last study your Bible, told your children some Bible story, provided them with evidence of God and His character, both His goodness and His severity? Have you given up your free time for them lately? Great opportunities arise to guide while you're walking and swinging and playing in the sandbox or playground or taking special interest in the activities that are special to them. How long since you took the entire family on some outing, like a picnic, for games, building memories, creating a sense of belonging and emotional security. Such outings need not be expensive nor elaborate, but they should always be pleasant to recall and to discuss. Do you show concern for their education and their books and their teachers and their grades and what is being implanted in their minds by others? Compliments support achievement. They build genuine esteem and self-respect. Do you help build ambition and show that their efforts are appreciated? Tell me, fathers, have you recently shown appreciation by word or a gift or reward or by some treat? Do you teach respect for parents by showing respect for your parents? They will learn to honor father and mother by what they see. Do you ask for their input into decisions that affect the family, such as vacations and recreation, purchases, schedules, even the rooms in which they live? Yes, it may test your mettle at times, but it pays dividends in the long run to include them. Does your family attend worship together and all the services of the church? When did you say no to them because it was for their welfare? Some activities, some clothes, some appearances, some recreations, movies and programs and associates, they are not best for them. It is your job to discern. When did you last have to say no? Have you tried using the world events to show differences between right and wrong, and showing the sinfulness of abortion, and showing respect for life? Do they know the rules on sexual purity, respect for property, the dignity of work, the demand for justice, the concern for the needy, the seriousness of morality? When you make decisions, do you try to explain your decisions and your actions to your children, being considerate of their feelings? Let them know you have a duty to be in charge, but they need to know how and why you've decided as you have. This is great teaching. Our young must make decisions, and they must make them for themselves. But it is a parent's duty to give them the basis on which to make good decisions. Do you provide them that? How long has it been since you gave them assurance of your love and protection and confidence, both by word and deed? Have you set them and taught them how to select friends? Have you taught them how to treat others? Have you taught them how to set values and priorities? Do your older children receive instruction on how to select a mate? And you should show concern for school lessons. But what of Bible lessons and church-related activities? And fathers, are you concerned about what they are doing, their interests, where they are going, what they like, what they dislike, what they read and see and watch, with whom they associate? How long has it been since your children saw you take special interest in the place where you live, and your attentiveness to home duties, even such as your yard or your car, the windows of the house, the dishes, even vacuum cleaners? Do you show courtesy to your wife, their mother? Do you let them know you love their mother? This is one of the greatest gifts a father can give to his children. Do you exercise proper discipline when called for, or is this left to someone else? Have you considered their future in education, their vocation, their profession, their faith? Do you make a special effort to teach them respect for the church? We live in a day when church bashing is very popular. Shall your children be taught otherwise? And most important of all, are you teaching them respect for all things pertaining to the authority of God, including His reality, and their accountability to Him, and the blessing of fellowship with them? Oh, we could possibly ask more such questions, but we're persuaded, like Edgar A. Guest once wrote, it takes a heap of living to make a home. It surely takes a heap of work and prayer to be the right kind of father. And fathers, you cannot lead where you will not go. You cannot teach what you do not know. You, Father, are the leader and the teacher. Your goal is to do all that you can so that every member of your family, without the loss of one, will reach heaven. Help them to serve God and man. Help them to keep the torch of truth burning brightly after your time has ended. The next generation needs children, such as your family can produce. And in time, you will reap as you have sown. There will be good fruits when you have done your job. And you will be able to say, "My cup runneth over." It is like this. The husband is the master of the house under Christ. He's the one who manages and oversees. He has that special relationship that calls for meeting special obligations. He is the father and the founder and the producer. He's the one in charge, with responsibility as the nourisher, the upholder, the protector of his family. And to do this, his first need is to be a faithful Christian. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Will you repent of your sins and confess that faith and obey his command to be baptized for the remission of sins and then rise from that watery grave, having been washed clean by the blood of Christ, to fulfill your duty and your responsibility to your wife and to your children? Will you be the kind of father that they can look to and look back upon and give God thanks for you? This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.